everybody, and welcome to the online worship service here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. My name is Amanda. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited that you found us online and decided to worship with us today. If you are new or newer, if you are looking for a church home, we encourage you to take a next step. That could be letting us know that you're out there, that you are worshiping along with us. You can do that by going to our website, parkridgepresby.org/getconnected. Fill out that I'm new here form, then we know that you're worshiping along with us. And if you wanna get better connected even more, we encourage you to stop by on a Sunday morning. Our Sunday morning experiences are how you are going to get more connected to this faith community. We know that God connects us in a lot of ways, but we know God does something special when we are gathered in the same space. And so we invite you to stop by on a Sunday morning. We worship at 10 a.m. We are in a message series this whole month about the seasons. We've been talking about winter, we've been talking about spring. Today we are talking about summer. And we're inviting everybody to reflect on what God is doing through the seasons. What can we learn about God's design of the seasons, what God is up to in the seasons, and how our faith life or our family life or our work life or our relationships or our finances might have different rhythms, different seasons to them. The verse that is rooting us throughout this series this month comes from Genesis 8:22. It says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We've created a little printout for this. You can find it on our social media. You can save it, keep it somewhere that you'll notice it. Maybe you'll commit it to memory. And we want this prayer card, the scripture card, to remind you of what God's trying to remind us through scripture, is that these seasons are on purpose. This rhythm to our life is on purpose. And we invite you to be present and mindful of the changing seasons. We believe that God has something for us in each season. Let me pray before we jump into today's message. God of every season, we give thanks for you walking with us through the changing seasons. For those of us who are walking through a tough season, we ask that we would know that your spirit never leaves us. For those of us wanting to hang on to the sweetness of things just as they are right now, help us to trust that as things grow and change and fall away. We pray that you would speak to each of us today the word that we need to hear. We pray that you would give us eyes to see the abundance of your kingdom here on earth. And give us hearts that relentlessly pursue your hope for all people. We pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. So we are talking about summer today. It is actually summer. We're not needing to pretend or imagine like the last couple weeks what winter is like or what spring is like. You can walk outside your door today and it is summer. And today is a particularly perfect kind of summer day. It's not too hot. There's a little bit of a breeze. There's bright blue skies and sun. Summer is the best. Summer is the best season. I'm a summer person. I've at least convinced one of my children to be a summer person alongside with me. I think the rest of our family just suffers through it. I understand that some people don't love summer as much as me. I might think you're wrong and crazy, but I think summer is the best. And I am excited to talk about some of what is the best about summer. But we're also going to tell the truth about summer. That's some of what I love about the seasons, and what we're reflecting on is that there's a mix of good and hard in every season. This is what it's like to be human, is that there is a mix of good and hard most of the time. So some of what is good about summer, we can experience summer with all of our senses, with all of these things that we love, right? The sun and the blue skies, that smell of like chlorine, sunscreen, and sugary treats after a pool day. That is just like the smell of summertime for kids. Tasting those ripe tomatoes, those berries that were meant for this season. We can feel the hot earth under our feet as our bare feet touch ground outside. The sounds of kids playing outside all hours of the day. Summer is so good to us. Summer is so good. Summer, in my mind, is about more fun, more parties, more snacks, more play dates, more, more, more. On summer, I want to say yes to everything. Summer, in my heart, is about abundance. I see God's goodness in heaping handfuls in the summer. I want to live in the reality of God's goodness every day in the summer. I want every day to feel like summer. which makes me a really lousy person to be around when summer isn't going the way that I want it to. A bad mood in the summer can bring me down hard. My bad mood, my family members' bad moods, a coworker, a friend. I want everybody to get along and be happy in the summer. Doesn't always go that way, does it? I don't like when my life gets disrupted or my plans get disrupted in the summer. When a sick kid messes up something I was looking forward to, when there's a canceled trip or a trip doesn't go the way that you planned exactly. Maybe there's a strained relationship in your life, a change at work, an illness in the family. You know, all of these things that we can't see coming and can't protect ourselves from. You know, all of these things that it means to be human to experience. This stuff, it can rattle me sometimes because darn it, if I don't like to be in control. In the podcast series Annie F. Downs is doing on the seasons, when they were introducing summer as a season a couple months ago, one of the takeaways I had from the conversation she was having was about unmet expectations in summer. I wonder if any of you can relate to that feeling of unmet expectations in summer. Maybe it was a summer bucket list you and your kids made. Maybe it was a summer trip you wanted to take but couldn't afford this year. Maybe it was a project around the house or a project at work that got off the rails. It didn't go as planned and now it just kind of looms over you. Maybe you had a surgery. Maybe you had a diagnosis that rewrote a lot of your plans for summer. There is something about us that craves more in the summer. Something about those longer days and more sunlight, the warmer temperatures and being able to be outside. There's something about nature that is boasting of more. So if the expectation of summer is more good things, but your reality is a lot of plans deferred, it can be pretty defeating, pretty disappointing, maybe even heartbreaking to be in summer when it's not going as planned. One of the places I like to spend a lot of time in the summer is in my backyard. It is our safe haven. It is the quickest way for us to get out and enjoy summer is our backyard. And the first summer that we lived in our house, we put in a little vegetable garden, a little raised bed garden. I'd never grown anything before. I think it's still a little bit of a miracle that the things I put in the ground, if I pay just enough attention to them, something grow, something I can eat and enjoy. It feels like magic to me. I remember the first summer I was here, I was preaching a sermon and I couldn't help but talking about these tomatoes I had grown in my backyard and it felt like magic. As we come to today's passage, I invite you to think about a garden like that, a garden you've spent time in. Maybe you didn't grow vegetables, but maybe you tended to a flower bed. You have a home, a garden in your mind. Maybe you love to go to gardens, like fancy gardens when you're on vacation, like a botanical garden. Maybe you go to the botanical gardens here in Chicago. I invite you to consider a garden where you know that things have been planted and things have been tended to, and you can see the transformation and you can see the goodness. My family never had a vegetable garden growing up. My dad did a lot of gardening, but it was more like garden beds, like bushes and flowers and stuff. But my grandma had a vegetable garden, and I remember the little cousins getting to go out with little baskets, and they'd pick tomatoes and other stuff that was ripe. Whatever garden you're picturing, go to that garden now as we hear these words that Jesus says to the disciples. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you." Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In this metaphor for relationship, Jesus is like the plant in the garden. And God is the gardener that tends to it. Like a gardener who wants to get the most out of what he's planted. He prunes the leaves off the branches that are diverting energy away from where they need to go. He cuts off branches that aren't doing anything and puts all his attention into what is producing fruit, where the harvest, the crop is going to come from. Paying attention to where those little flower buds come that will ripen into fruit. The gardener cuts and waters and supports, you know, those like cages that go around tomatoes or cucumber vines, right? Making sure that the plant has the best environment possible to produce good fruit. If you've ever tended a garden yourself, you know not all growth is the most helpful. Sometimes you need to cut back some branches so that others can thrive. Sometimes when something grows too much, it's not at its best. I remember the first year I had a garden, I planted like lettuce, like romaine lettuce, and it grew so tall. And we thought, this is great, we have so much lettuce. It was so bitter and so bad because it got too big. It got bigger than it was supposed to be. And we weren't paying attention when it was right at the perfect time to be harvested. Sometimes weeds crop up in your plants and they get all tangled up in your plants and you need to be so delicate and careful to get rid of the weeds that are in the way of your plant's growth, but delicate enough that you don't damage the roots of your plant that are growing. Our spiritual lives are a bit like gardens that need to be carefully tended to. That's one of the things that we've been doing this month through this series, paying attention to the seasons. And on our small group that happens on Sunday mornings, we're getting curious about our lives and noticing what's in there. Where is there death and decay? Where is there new growth? Where's there abundant fruit? Where's there a bunch of weeds getting in the way? We believe that God is like this good gardener that knows just what to do with whatever we bring to God. So it doesn't matter whether you have been tending to your soul for a long time, asking these questions and have a deep, long spiritual life, or whether this is still very new and what you've planted hasn't been in the ground that long. God is the perfect gardener that knows just what you need. In the verse, Jesus then directs his comments to the disciples that he's talking to. And he says, well, I'm the vine, but you are the branches. The branches that grow off of the vine where the fruit shows up, that's you. You are the evidence of God's work in the world. You're what it looks like to be a part of what God is doing in the world, to be connected to Jesus as the source and sustainer of God's goodness and what people see and take notice of. That's who you are, disciples, followers of Jesus. Jesus' invitation to the disciples is to abide in him. I love that word, abide. It's used here to mean like dwelling, where you dwell, where your home is. The disciples are faced with a choice and we are all forced with the same one. Where will you call home? Where will your soul dwell? What will you ground your life in? We're asked the same question. And we get to choose. We get to choose where our soul abides. Jesus invites us to abide in him so that we get to experience the fullness of God's abundant love and what that love does to us, what that love does for us. This passage is all about God's abundant love. It's all about grace. And the invitation is to get plugged into, be connected, be intimately supported by that vine. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And it's just true that every living thing needs that source of life, that source to sustain you. And we just believe as followers of Jesus that there is something unique, something eternal about the ways that we encounter God's abundant love in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Truth is, I have a dozen more sermons about summer in me. There's so much I still want to say that I have learned and uncovered as I've been exploring summer, and not just the good, wonderful, I haven't even talked about the beach yet. And I love Lake Michigan so much. But I'm also so curious about those hard parts in the garden when the sun is too hot and it's too much for those plants, or when those weeds are too strong and you can't believe how they've gotten everywhere in the garden bed. That's a lot like our life. Sometimes we look up and we don't know how things got the way that they are. There's so much I'm curious about with summer and that I'm still learning. And one of the things that I'm excited about is we get to keep having these conversations, whether that's, you know, at coffee hour after church, whether that's months from now when it actually is winter. These seasons are gonna keep coming again. And we're gonna keep getting to experience some of what we're learning from God as we look at the seasons. The one thing I want to end with, where I want to end, is in that abiding love of Jesus and in the abundance of the garden. I think what summer has to offer us, and the thing I want us to hold on to the most, is that knowledge of abundant love. I believe God promises us abundance. John 10:10 says that Jesus came so that we may have life and have it abundantly. We can't control all of the things that are happening in and around us. We can't control a lot, but we can choose to dwell in the knowledge of God's goodness and abundance grace to us. I hope that you have eyes to see the abundance that is all around you and enjoy these last bits of summer. You know, our students are heading back to school. It might be hot for a while. I feel like summer lingers into those fall months, so it might be warm. But our rhythm, our life, those summer rhythms are ending, and it is gonna be that transition back into school. And what I see from our school-age families is that fall, it's a lot of hustle, it's a lot of busy. Where can you draw from the abundance that God offers you in summer to sustain you through this next season that comes next? I hope you've enjoyed thinking about the seasons with us, maybe reflecting with us on Sunday mornings. We're gonna have another devotion group meeting on this Sunday morning at 8:45 in the Family Center. And we would love for you to come by. You don't have to prepare at all. You don't have to have been to the last two to join us this week as we talk about summer. Let me pray for us. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for all of the ways that we can see and notice that you are at work around us. God, for those that are struggling today, that we're having a hard time to find reasons to rejoice, God, would you put somebody in our way, put somebody in our path that bumps into us with this awareness of your goodness and your hope and your love and grace that is for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.